Paul writes to young Timothy, pastor of the church at Ephesus. 1 Timothy 2, and I'm going to begin reading verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, and all goodness, godliness, and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm not going to try to deal with all those verses, but focus in on some of them this morning. But these verses contain a basic truth, and basic truths that we all should be aware of. There's a need to emphasize how we ought to live our daily lives in relation to others based on these things, how we ought to think, how we ought to reason, how we ought to live. We were talking about those things this morning, but I guess we talk about them all the time. We need to be ready not only to believe, but to stand and to defend those great biblical truths that so many need to part from in this day and age. Jude wrote in his little epistle in the third verse, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In verse 5, Paul said this, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Brethren, it may seem like a simple thing, it may seem like a little thing, but the fact is there's less and less acknowledgement of this great truth. There is one God. There is one God. Throughout all of the scriptures, we see that in Deuteronomy 6. God says to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Jehovah, our God, is one Jehovah. Isaiah 44 and verse 6, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. The one fellow wrote in that said, well, you know, we should have a monument to all these people, all these kind of different gods and all these kind of different things. You know, we're a big, diverse place. There's one God. There's one God. Isaiah 45 and verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none else. There is but one God. God. One essence in which are three glorious persons. And even this is revealed throughout the scriptures. In 1 John 5:7, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I won't deal with the modern apostates that would just like to rip that verse from the scriptures. many of your modern translations, even the so-called conservative ones, have eliminated that verse. Not that doing that in and of itself, but the doctrines throughout the scriptures, the doctrine begins in the book of Genesis. The doctrine begins as God begins to reveal himself and uses the term Elohim. Elohim, which in the Hebrew is a plural noun. The im, I-M, when you see that, like the seraphim, that's plural. Elohim, a plural noun. And yet when that noun is used, it's always used with singular verbs. Early on we read as God said, let us make man in our image. There's one God. Three glorious persons. And the God of the Bible, that God is the only true God. Allah is not God. And yet we have even conservative outfits today. I think the Southern Baptists were, some of them at least, were even involved in it, wanting to make a new translation of the Bible that you're going to give to the Muslims, and wherever we have God, we're just going to put Allah so that they can understand that they're all just the same. They're not all just the same. Not Allah, not Vishnu, not any of these other gods that have been promoted through the ages. When it says that there's only one God, it's not the same thing as saying that all gods are one. And yet that's how man, turns things on its head. There's one God, therefore it means that all the gods are one. So, the different religions are not manifestations of that one God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 4, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, that there is none other God but one. And though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. As broad as folks would like to be, we do not all worship the same God. Unless they worship the God of the Bible, unless they worship the Elohim and the Jehovah of Scriptures. Paul even points out that these so-called gods are oftentimes truly demons, or at least a demonic illusion. 1 Corinthians 10, he says in verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. To get down to a little more brass tack, you know, the water and the wafer and the wine god of Catholicism, and many of the other religions and their various twists and turns on that are no better than those gods of wood and stone that were worshipped by the heathen in Africa. And even the god that's honored by, you know, the modern cultic Judaism is not the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. John 5 verse 23 says this, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. God that's worshipped that honors not Jesus Christ is no God at all. And those who worship a God other than he that's revealed in the Scriptures worship a false deity and a false God. Liberals. Yeah, that term's just so twisted up. I was going to write into it. One fellow was talking about how diversity, and you know, we're going to have diversity by making Levy County be just like everybody else. So modern day liberals don't even know what that term means. You know, the exact opposite of, you know, of what it, if what it means today. But those liberals today, those we call liberals who advance themselves as liberals, if they're so courageous as to do so, you know, that most of them worship a god of their own creation. I like to say, you know, it's a god that's between their ears. You know, if they can't understand it, it's not their god. I remember specifically having an Old Testament professor say that as we were studying the Old Testament. We were reading of the dealings of God throughout the Old Testament, and he very piously says, "Well, that's not the God I worship." Condemned from his own mouth. Non-Christian religions cannot worship the true God because they reject Jesus Christ. And then we see these folks who claim to be atheists or secularists. They worship man. Worship materialism. But another false god. Now we ought to be careful not to be influenced by the broad-mindedness of the world. There is but one God. Now folks got such ideas today, you know, well, just as long as you're sincere, you know. That's all that matters, you know, whatever you think. Never forget, and all these relativists can talk all they want, there is ultimate reality. There is ultimate reality, and men are going to come face to face with that and accept one, worship the God of the Bible. He worships a falsehood, and he has but an empty hope. There is but one God, Paul tells us. He continues to tell us that there is but one mediator. There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men. Only one. There was only one that could ever fit that bill. There was only one that could ever be that go-between. It required one who was truly God and one who was truly man. And that was something incomprehensible to the human mind. Even Job in the Old Testament, as he contemplated this thing, in Job 9 and verse 32 said, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there a daysman betwixt us that might lay hand upon us both." Now, there was needed a daysman that can lay hands on both. And there's only been one like that. But one God and one mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ was man and truly a man. Well, some of the world's religions deny that, you know. Somehow he was an appearance or an image or an apparition or one thing or another. So he was truly a man. God became a man, but not merely a man. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the representative of the human race, we read in Romans, as we've studied recently in chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul said, "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. We all fell in Adam. We were all in Adam. We all had a part in his sin. Paul continues, not as the offense was, also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now, I'm not going to preach on, you know, false concepts of creation and all today. But brethren, folks who claim to be, theological evolutionists or Christian evolutionists, it doesn't work. Death came by one man. Not some missing link. Came up over time. By one man. If Adam's not a historic figure, we might as well not be here. Where was I? And not, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment is by one to condemnation. But the gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign and life by one, Jesus Christ. There's one God, and there's one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And why was that? Because we were all in that one man. You and I were in Adam. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And those that are God, Christ, that are God's elect, were just as much in Jesus Christ. We were in Him. There's one mediator, and only one. He is a man, but not merely a man. He is truly and eternally God, for no other can stand betwixt the two. It's been said that Christ was so much man as if he had never been God, and so much God as if he had never become a man. Paul, again writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:16 said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. Oh, you'll see some of your modern Bibles chop up that verse too. They'll either say, who was manifested in the flesh, or he was manifested in the flesh. Instead of God was manifested in the flesh. What's, all men are manifested in the flesh. What's the big deal about that? But brethren, if God was manifested in the flesh, that was but by one man. And there's only one mediator. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The Apostle John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, most of the modern translations don't mess with that too much, except the Jehovah Witnesses one. And the modern translators will take exception to them changing the Scriptures, but not when they do it themselves. Of course, the Jehovah Witnesses say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. See point one of this sermon. There is but one God! In fact, John goes on to tell us down in verse 14 of the first chapter there that the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Wow, that's something entirely unique. That's why there's one God, and there's but one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I'll just touch briefly on some of the, you know, the aspects of his mediation. It means he's a go-between. He was a propitiation of God. He gave himself to meet our sin debt. John 10. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, Christ's death was not an accident. It wasn't a failure. He laid down his life. It was a propitiation. It was a ransom. It was a redemption. And we could study weeks just on those, but it was a propitiation, let me say this, that propitiated. And it was a ransom that ransomed. And it was a redemption that redeemed. So much of so-called Christianity today teaches it as a propitiation that potentially propitiated, a ransom that potentially ransomed, or a redemption that potentially redeemed. Kind of leaving it up to you. No, he redeemed his elect. He propitiated for his elect. He satisfied God's justice. He paid the debt. As he said, it is finished. He became that mediator between God and man, that one and only mediator. And all that he gave himself for shall be saved. All that he gave himself for are the ransomed. God is satisfied with what was owed him by all for whom Christ died. And if that be the case, then they have been redeemed. God, he was a propitiation. He was a reconciliation. Christ's death brings us to God. 1 Peter 3:8, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We have to be brought to God. God doesn't have to be brought to us, you see. The reconciliation wasn't God, you know, reconciling himself to us, but us being reconciled to him. 2 Corinthians, and all things are of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Reconciled us to himself. By Jesus Christ. And have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And imputing not their trespasses unto them. And that committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. You know, what took place. Brother, we're not just... I was reading this. I'm actually working towards getting, you know, we'll start in Galatians at some point. I don't know when, but it's studying some of it. And I'll probably end up preaching half of what I learned as I'm doing it, because I come up and I'm thinking about it. But fellow was talking about, you know, what happened here. It's kind of like going into a court of law and you're found not guilty. You know, and you leave and you say, you're found not guilty, you're exonerated, and someone comes up to you and says, well, that was nice of the judge to forgive you. The judge didn't forgive me. I was exonerated. I was found not guilty. That's kind of our standing now. We're not just forgiven, as glorious as that is. But we've been justified. We've been declared not guilty. Yeah, we were, but we've been declared not guilty. I mean, just think, that's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. We've been justified. And particularly as our mediator on our daily basis, we as Christians, he makes intercession for us. Brother, I need that. I don't think, I know from my own experience, I can't speak of yours, but you know, the Lord saved me. I have not lived a perfect life, a sinless life since then. I'm not proud of that, but it's true. He ain't finished with me yet, and I'm not where I ought to be yet. But I got one that makes intercession. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to him by God, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, he didn't just die for us, he lives for us. He is our mediator. He is our go-between. He is our great high priest. Paul writes in Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. See, this high priest identified with us. He became a man. He became the daysman, the stand betwixt. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so it is, he pleads our case daily before the throne of grace. 1 John 2 and verse 1, the apostle says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He died. It's finished. He died for us. He makes intercession for us. And none other will do. None other will do. Any others are frauds or imposters. This false Mary that they speak of, the Queen of Heaven, the mediatrix, doesn't mean good. We can't come by any other. We can't come by any other woman. We can't come by any other man. Again, as Job said in Job 9, verse 32, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there a daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let us not fear, and let not his fear terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. Except for that daysman, except for that go-between, we could not approach God. Popes don't work. Priests don't work. Joe Smith. Mary, Queen of Heaven, Astarte. I mentioned that fellow that wrote me this week, you know, Ellen White, that had all, none of those work. Jesus saith unto him in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, oh, you're narrow. Yep. He died. He died. If there were other ways, then why would he have to die? The apostle said in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts 10, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. Can't come through any other means. Can't come through any other ways. Not only other men or other women. We can't come through our own good works. We can't come through membership in the church. We can't come through membership in the lodge. We can't come through rituals and rites. A young man that contacted me from from Jacksonville concerned that, you know, this Church of Christ preacher might not preach baptize him. And of course, if you can't get baptized, you can't go to heaven. Now, we ought to follow the Lord in Christian baptism, if it's true Christian baptism, which Church of Christ can't give you anyway. But brethren, there's no other mediator. There's just one mediator that stands between God and man. The Lord said in John 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and robber." There's only one way. There's only one God. There's only one mediator. There's only one God. There's only and there's only one mediator that stands between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And there's only one message. One God. There's one mediator. There's one message. God has assured the salvation of all his chosen children through the atonement of his Son. And he desires that all those chosen come to him in repentance and faith. And if he desires that, it will be accomplished. He ransomed those for whom Christ died. And he will give them repentance and faith and bring them to himself. He is the only way. Testified, Paul says, in due time. He was prophesied to the first couple there in the garden, as the Lord talked about the one who would crush the serpent's head. Throughout the scriptures, those that were his were drawn to him. And though they didn't have complete understanding, they understood that God had provided. The Lord himself said in John 8, verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it and was glad. Abraham was saved by the grace of God, by the atonement of Christ, just like every other child of God's been saved. In Hebrews 11, we read in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in heaven. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." The Lord had not yet come, but he had promised a way. He had promised a Redeemer. And those that were his were brought to embrace that, even before he'd come. But he was testified in due time. That promised Redeemer came in time. He was sent forth as a man to redeem men. As we saw previously in John 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Galatians, Paul wrote in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." And he accomplished in time what had been promised from the beginning, what had been covenanted to from the beginning, what had already been accepted by God. And again, that word I love, suretyship. Christ said, I'll redeem that people. And the Father said, "I accept." Hadn't yet happened, but the Scripture says, "Slain from before the foundation of the world." That's what it means, the suretyship of Christ. God accepted that. And it was accomplished in time. Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," the beast, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." And to us is given the obligation to testify to those things, to proclaim those things. We preach the completed gospel. It is finished. We don't preach a good deal or a good offer. We preach it is finished. Christ has redeemed his elect. So we ought not to be deceived. We ought not be swayed by the broad-mindedness of the age. There's but one God. There's but one mediator. And there's only one message. And God's elect will receive that truth. And God's saints are to proclaim that truth as he gives us opportunity. I pray we might be motivated by these truths as we go forth in our lives. There's one God. There's one me. As Job said, I need a daysman to stand betwixt us. And we have seen that daysman. We've been brought to embrace that daysman. And we thank God for it. Let's take our hymnals this morning, stand and sing a closing hymn together. 295, free election. 295. Thank you for this day and the privilege of gathering together. Lord, as we sang, as our brother Dale mentioned in his prayers, we have nothing that we have not received. Because of that, all the glory belongs to thee. We were not better than others. We were not smarter than others. Lord, we were thoroughly lost and undone. Lord, we haven't come to see these things, but by your grace and your understanding. And Father, we pray that you might help us to walk in your ways and to be the children that you've called us to be. Father, we thank you that there's one God, there's one mediator, and there's but one message. Lord, may we be faithful in proclaiming these things. Lord, keep your hand on each one that's here. Lord, meet the needs that are present. Thank you for your everlasting and eternal love. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.